When I was a little boy, every single summer, without fail, we would go to South Dakota to visit relatives. And you know what? When I was a little boy, I could not wait to go to South Dakota. Okay, you guys are thinking this guy's crazy, all right? No, no. My favorite relative was in South Dakota, my uncle. And the reason I loved him so much is because he lived on this huge piece of land out on the edge of town. He had sheds, and he had barns, and he has all kinds of machinery and farm stuff. It was sweet. A little kid running around checking out these barns and the sheds and climbing on the machinery. It was like hog heaven. Couldn't get any better than that, right? It did. My uncle would let me drive. I mean, since I was a little, like 5 years old, he let me drive his little lawnmowers, and then I'd progress on to maybe driving his motorcycle or his tractors. But another great thing is, when I wasn't busy driving and having fun on his property, he would take me in his semi, and we'd haul livestock or grain around South Dakota. I have awesome memories of that. It was such a blast for a little kid. Except once. There was this one time that was just sticks in my mind. I can remember it so clearly, and it was miserable for me. It was really bad. We had just dropped off the cows at an auction, a livestock barn, and we parked the semi up on top of a hill, and my uncle said, sit in the cab, and I'll be right back. I'm going to go clean out the trailer. So he gets out and starts cleaning out the trailer, and I'm sitting there twiddling my thumbs, little kid, you know, there's nothing to do, I'm bored. And I'm looking down at these other semis, and I'm thinking, there's a CB there, and I thought, I'll just turn on the CB and see what happens. I'll start talking to him, see if anybody's out there. Break 19, is anybody out there? Break 19, is anyone out there? Nothing but static. Break 19, is anyone out there? Break 19, is anyone out there? Nothing but cold, boring, mindless static is all I got back. Well, I was really bored, so I kept on going for like 10, 15 minutes. I just wouldn't give up. I knew I shouldn't be hogging up the channel because someone else might want to use it, because you know it's only one person can talk at a time. But I kept on going on and on and on. Finally, I got a response. Kid, if you don't shut up, I'm going to come up there and break your arm. My heart must have stopped beating. I was so afraid. I mean, I was petrified. I didn't know what to do. I just froze. I was shaking. I just went over and shut off the CB real quick, and I sat down and sat real nice in the seat in case my uncle came back. Oh, I was completely afraid. Never been so afraid in my entire life. Now, when I say the fear of the Lord, is that the picture that comes to your mind? Do you think of this voice booming out of heaven? Jason, you've been bad. You're really making me mad. I'm going to come down there and I'm going to hurt you. That's not what the Bible's saying when it says the fear of the Lord. That's a different kind of fear. Let's look at what the Bible does say about fear of the Lord, that particular phrase. In the New Testament, there's a Greek word, phobos. And that's where we get our English word to be phobia, which is to fear, obviously. But in the Greek, it means astonishment, amazement, trembling, solicitude, which is like a feeling of great concern, terror, respect, awe, or reverential fear. So in this kind of context, in this phrase, it means to be in awe of God. It means to be reverently fearful of God. In the Old Testament, in the Hebrew, the word they use is yirah, which means fear or fearfulness, to have moral reverence to venerate. Now, venerate means to regard with respect, to regard with great awe and devotion, to adore, to idolize, or to worship. This phrase is used for people that had great piety. It's a kind of a fear joined with love and hope. And it's not like a dreadful kind of fear, no. It's like a filial fear. It's like a fear that a child would have for their parent. Now, let me illustrate that a little bit. I lived with my mom for 20 years. I am always welcome in her house. When I go to her house, I don't just show up. I don't just pop in. I go, I call first, make sure it's okay, come over, and then I go. And when I get to my mom's house, I don't just barge right in, no. a knock on the door. I'll wait for her to answer because I respect her privacy. And when I get hungry, I don't go snooping through a refrigerator looking for something yummy to eat. I ask first, Mom, can I get something to eat? And likewise, when I get thirsty, I don't just run and get something. I ask her like a guest would ask her, can I get something to drink? Now, I know I don't need to do these things. I'm not a guest. I'm family. But I feel like I need to do these things. I feel like I need to owe my mom that much respect. I feel like I need to honor her as much as I can. And that's the filial reverence that I have for my mom. Now, how much more infinite are the things that my Father in heaven has done for me? Today alone, He gave me fresh air to breathe, clean water to drink, food to nourish my body, clothes to clothe my body, a house to live in. I feel completely compelled to do what I can, whatever it is, however small it is, to honor Him. 1 Samuel 12:24 says, "Only fear the Lord and serve Him in truth with all your heart, for consider what great things He has done for you." Let me give you an example of what the awesome things that God has done for each and every one of His children, every single person here. God has created an entire universe that is custom built for every single one of us. Scientists have determined that people can only live in spiral galaxies, like the one pictured up there. And you can only live in around a star that's a certain distance from the center of that universe, for that galaxy, excuse me. And you can only live in certain groups of planets. They have to be just right. You can only live around certain kinds of stars. You can only live on certain kinds of planets. And those planets have to be exactly right distance from their star. And they have to have the right kind of orbit. Everything has to be absolutely just right for life to exist. We all should have like a filial reverence for our God. Considering He as a loving parent has crafted an entire universe for us to live in. Okay, we've determined that the fear of the Lord is not like a fear of reprisal, but a reverential type of fear. I find it really interesting that the Bible uses the word fear when it means to be in great awe or reverence. Now, why wasn't a word for fear or reverence actually used? Why is that? That seems kind of strange to me. Does the reverential usage of the word fear go far enough? Isn't something a little bit more implied? Shouldn't we absolutely tremble in awe of Him who controls the heavens, yet He's still mindful of itty-bitty little bitty us in regards to such a huge and enormous universe that He controls? Shouldn't we be absolutely devoted to our God who has long suffering for us? Isn't our God reverential fear so that we live our lives avoiding every sin and doing what He commanded us to do? Shouldn't we idolize Him and nothing else? Shouldn't all our adoration and worship be directed towards Him? I believe that God's choice of words is absolutely perfect. It is so much more than just reverence. It is total devotion to Him. Have you guys ever been to a drag race? Those really amazing cars down at Bandimere Speedway. Have you guys ever been to the pit? You can stand right next to the car. It's really sweet. Have you been there when they fire up the engine? Oh my goodness. Wow, that is amazing. It is. If you haven't, do it at least once in your life. It is amazing because you stand next to that engine. It turns on. You can literally feel the shock waves from that engine hitting your body. It is unreal. You can see the flame shooting out of the exhaust pipes. You can smell the high-octane fuel and the fumes. Your eyes kind of burn from the fumes and all the wind coming off the engine. You're in the immediate presence of 5,000 horsepower. You'll see little kids kind of run away and get scared, cling on to their parents. It makes everybody a little jittery, a little nervous, maybe a little fearful. I think that of all the emotions that we have, fear best describes how we will be in God's awesome and overwhelming presence. He is an almighty and living God. We will have a sensory overload when we're in His presence. with our eyes, our ears, our noses, our hearing, everything. And we'll be in his infinite, infinite majesty.
Hello?
What? Huh? Yeah. I don't know. Sure. Well, yeah, we could get together later. Yeah, okay. That's... I don't know. It's, yeah, I think barbecue would be good. What do you guys think? Yeah. Okay, I really should get going. I got something going on. Can I get back to you? Okay. Talk to you later. Bye. Did you guys feel that? I just completely disrespected you guys. I didn't give you guys the honor that you guys deserve. I was right in the middle of talking to you, and my devotion was not to you. My devotion was to some dumb call on a cell phone. It was I wanted to see who was on that phone, and I wasn't devoted to you. I didn't pay you guys the reverence that you deserve. Now, I think you feel just experience a little bit of what I think it feels like for God, our jealous God, when we don't pay him the absolute reverence that he deserves. Now, what good is the fear of the Lord? The fear of the Lord indeed is very important. It is the beginning of knowledge in Proverbs 1:7. It will cause one to hate evil, Proverbs 8:13. It will prolong life, Proverbs 10:27. It will provide strong confidence and is a foundation of life, 14:26 and 27. It prompts one to depart from evil, Proverbs 16:6. It leads to a satisfying life and spares one from much evil, Proverbs 19:23. It is the way to riches, honor, and life, Proverbs 22:4. I think we can all agree just from some of the verses in Proverbs that the fear of the Lord is indeed very awesome and very something we should really seek after. So what are the results of not fearing, having the fear of the Lord in our lives? Well, we will have one of the consequences is we won't have God's wisdom or his knowledge. We won't know how to deal with things in life. Like, God tells us not to lie. It's not wise to lie. Inevitably, sooner or later, we're going to lie. And we're going to get caught up in the consequences of that lie. Another example is we're not mindful of God's commandments, and we think that evil things aren't going to affect us. Oh, I can dabble in it a little bit. I'll be all right. I'm a big boy. I can take it. I'm strong enough. But drugs are really addictive. And just a little bit will lead to a little more and a little more, like all sin. And someday you might wake up and realize that it's controlling your life. Another example would be when we do fall into sin, we won't truly repent of our sins. For example, we might say, oh, it's okay. God forgave me. That's all right. I'm not going to worry about it. But you know what? We might turn around with that kind of an attitude and sin again and again and again. God hasn't given us a license to sin because he's holy and he's just. Ultimately, we will not know the joy of having a close, intimate relationship with him. And that's what we are all created to have, is that close, intimate relationship with him. So I'd say the fear of the Lord is definitely something that every single one of us should seek after. Let's look in the Bible at who had fear of the Lord. The Bible says that Noah moved with great fear of the Lord. How else could he build such a huge, enormous ark? Noah, you're crazy. What are you doing building this thing out here? He persevered. God told him to do it. He wanted to honor God. God used Noah to save all of humanity and save all the animals. Abraham feared God. He feared him so much that he offered up his son to be sacrificed. He loved God greatly. He used Abraham to start a people set apart for himself, a holy people dedicated to God, and eventually gave salvation to the entire world through him. Job had an awesome testimony. He feared God and he shunned evil. Wow. Awesome, awesome testimony. The devil ripped his life apart. Did he give up on God? No. He persevered with God. He feared the Lord. He continued on. The early churches, they feared the Lord. Acts 9:31, it says, then the churches throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and were edified. And walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied. So God used them to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ all over the world. Now I ask you, what will God do through you when you have the fear of the Lord in your life? It is obvious that we should have the fear of the Lord in our life. But how do we get it? First, I think we need to really repent of our sins. Then next, I think we need to be mindful of everything around us. Make sure that when we walk day by day, that we are not coming near sin and avoid it like the plague. Next, I think we need to be in the Word every day. Then you need to be renewed day by day of spiritual things that are in the Bible and renew your body. Just like hearing, faith comes from hearing the word of the Lord, I believe the fear of God comes from hearing the word of the Lord as well. We need to know who God is, and you can only get that from reading the Bible. If we're ignorant of God, we can only fear God in a sense of reprisal, because you don't know who he is and how he loves you. It's like in my opening story. I was sitting in that cab of that truck, freaking out about this big, huge, burly guy, this truck driver, that was going to come up, open the door, rip me out of the cab, throw me on the ground, and beat the pulp out of me. That's a fear of reprisal. And that's not what we have in the Bible. So as Christians, we need a balance in our life. Just like every color of fruit, every color of vegetable, meats and dairy, we need to have a balance. We need to have a balance in God's word as well. We need to see all aspects of God's characteristics to understand him fully. When we read the Bible, we need to focus not just on his love and his mercy and his grace. We also need to focus on his righteous indignation, his justice, his holiness. If you only see him as a forgiving God and don't see the other aspects of God, I'm afraid we're going to become lukewarm, apathetic Christians that God won't use for his service. We need to bow down before God. We must have such an awesome reverence for him as our sole object of worship. We must avoid what he has forbidden. We must not forget whom we are devoted to and whom we serve. I think we all need to make the fear of the Lord the number one priority in our lives. Let me give you some examples of how the fear of the Lord has been increased in my life. I've noticed that when I kneel, when I pray, I feel a lot more focused on what I'm doing. It's really clicking in my mind. I really physically know what I'm doing. I'm not just laying in bed thinking, oh God, I really need this, and I pray you'd help this person. Was it rainy outside? I don't get sidetracked nearly as often. It helps me personally quite a bit. I feel like that I'm being more reverent to God when I'm on my knees. I feel like I'm doing everything I can to reverence him. And when I don't get on my knees, I really feel like I feel convicted. I don't feel like I'm giving it to him all, everything that I have. And I suggest everyone try and spend some time on your knees before the Lord and see what that does in your life. Another example is I used to hate singing. It made me feel awful. Maybe it was music class in school that I just really thought I was stupid. I don't know. But I used to hate it. And then when I got saved as a Christian, when I would sing, I was mouthing the words to the band or the guy sitting next to me or something. It was not worship. It was not praise. But you know, when I picture in my mind, who is it that I'm worshiping? Who am I praising? And things really started to change for me. I got enthusiastic. I was praising God. I was worshiping God. I wasn't just singing. I was in his presence is what it felt like to me. And yeah, I might be more likely to clap now and more likely to raise my hands and really worship him. So I'd encourage everyone, if you don't already, to picture him in your mind when you sing and to worship him. One final example is I feel a lot closer to God and more sensitive to the Holy Spirit when I fast. It's just that dull pain in my stomach all the time, and I'm thinking, this is why I'm doing this, is because I serve an awesome God. I'm trying to remind myself constantly of who it is that I worship. And I don't encourage everyone to spend a whole day fasting. It might be kind of crazy. If you haven't done it before, do a little bit at a time and gradually build up. And if you have any health issues, I definitely ask a doctor before doing something like that. I'd like to share one final verse. 2 Corinthians 7:1. Beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Let me read that one more time. Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Let's all close our eyes for a minute, please. Clear your minds. Now think about Jesus. He is sitting on his throne in heaven, surrounded by the angels. He has snow-white hair. His eyes are like flames of fire. He emits the brightest of white light. Dwell on him and all his glory and majesty. This is the one who you are to be in awe. This is the one who you are to reverence. This is the one who you are to fear. How will you live your life knowing that you are always in his presence and his eyes are always upon you? Okay, open your eyes. I'd ask you, every single one of you, are you perfecting holiness in the fear of God? Now, I talked about a different kind of fear. There's another kind of fear. Are you the person that knows that other kind of fear? Where you're worried about God booming down from heaven saying, you've been bad, I'm going to get back at you? Or do you not know what's going to happen to you when you die? Are you not certain? Do you not know for sure? You can have this awe and reverence kind of fear in your life if you want to. It's really simple. All I have to do is invite Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior. See, every single one of us was born into this world as a sinner, as it says in Romans 3:23. Romans 6:23 says, because of our sins, we're condemned to death. Now in Romans 10:9 it says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And the salvation it's talking about here is being saved from that death. You can be alive, totally and completely alive. If you've never invited Jesus Christ into your heart and into your life, I'd encourage you to do it right now. Let's pray that prayer to ask Jesus into our Lord into our life right now. Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. I believe that you died for my sins, all my past sins, all my present sins, and all my future sins. I ask you to come into my heart and come into my life and be the Lord of my life. In your name, Jesus Christ, amen.